WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
He's a proud renegade, yet a total company man, a loyal member of Her Majesty's Secret Service. His penchant for bikini-clad flesh rivals Hugh Hefner's, yet he'll always risk his life to save the one he loves. He's an existential daredevil who kills as ruthlessly as an assassin. Yet he's also a paragon of the good life who likes his martinis. Well, you know how he likes them. At least, he was all those things when Sean Connery played him. In the films of the 1960s, James Bond is as invincible as any comic strip hero. Yet he's something more. Defending civilization against strange, bald men with a thing for kitty cats and germ warfare, Connery's Bond is very much a hero of his time. A debonair cold warrior who knows that if the fate of the Western world rests on his sturdy shoulders, he probably shouldn't drain himself by taking the responsibility too seriously.
Hello, Penny.
You'd better go right in. You're late as usual, even from your own funeral.
Well, we Crofts have absolutely no sense of time.
In you go, sir.
Thank you, ma'am.
Sean Connery has gained a reputation as one of our finest actors. Yet going back to such early Bond classics as Dr. No and From Russia with Love, it's astonishing to see how skillful and physically expressive he was even then. Connery's dark, commanding, almost saturnine Bond lends these lavishly preposterous movies a surprising soul. Of course, so do the villains. Characters like Joseph Wiseman's Dr. No, or Donald Pleasence and Telly Savalas as Ernst Stavro Blofeld, are imperially nasty. Yet what really puts them over is that they seem to speak for forces so much larger than themselves. As you'll recall, they all belong to Spectre, that floating lodge club of power-crazed megalomaniacs. Whether or not these guys were actually Russian, they were the hidden menace, an explosion of our paranoia about what lay beyond the Iron Curtain. In this era of Glasnost and the Global Village, their evil seems more than a little quaint.
As you see, I am about to inaugurate a little war. In a matter of hours, when America and Russia have annihilated each other, we shall see a new power dominating the world.
Target vehicle on scope.
Now that's a master plan. The villain in the current Bond flick, License to Kill, is just a Miami Vice knockoff, a coke czar whose main distinction is having a complexion even worse than General Noriega's. This is a job for William Bennett, not James Bond, yet Timothy Dalton seems to have forgotten these movies are supposed to be fun. Critics are calling Dalton a more human Bond, and while it's true no one would ever accuse him of being larger than life, Dalton's 007 is a joyless character, a real gloomy Gus. You'd swear he had to be coached to open his mouth during the kissing scenes. Roger Moore, with his raised eyebrow campiness, always seemed to be having a pretty good time of it. But it was Sean Connery who made Bond's dedication to pleasure and to carrying out his mission seem pretty much the same thing. With Connery in the role, Bond was really fighting for the right to party, for the right of all citizens of the free world to enjoy shaken, not stirred martinis, extravagantly over-equipped sports cars, and what used to be known as free love. Maybe that's why the new Bond movies feel like they're just going through the motions. Tensions between the superpowers may wax and wane, but James Bond's true mission, making the world safe for civilized hedonism, was accomplished long ago.